Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. My name is Joey Christopoulos with my co-host Corey Wooten. But first, today's episode is presented by BetOnline.ag. Football, it's back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field for another football season. And as always, BetOnline, it's your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, there are even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So what are you waiting for? Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code Believe, B-L-E-A-V, to receive that bonus. Football, basketball, boxing, hockey's back, baseball playoffs, your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the great, amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Only at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming into the pod. This is why they pay us the big bucks. It's Bears-Packers week. We're here to preview Bears-Packers week 6 on the lakefront. But first, I got to bring in my co-host. He's former Chicago Bears defensive end, Fox 32 Chicago's, and coming to you live from the top of Space Mountain in Disney World, Florida. It's Corey Wooten. What's up, Corey?
What's up, man? You know, even though I'm in Disney with the fam, you know, we still got to get this podcast in. It's Packers week, baby.
That's right. The work never stops. Real quick before we dive in, Disney World. You're in a cheat day. We're not here to judge. What'd you eat today? What'd you have?
Bro, you know, honestly, people are going to think of me differently, but, you know, I had half of an Impossible Burger and a Greek salad. You know, I'm trying to keep healthy over here.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you at all. I remember, like, I went to Disneyland out here in California once, and we ate at that Bayou restaurant, and it's delicious. But, dude, salt. Everything. Oh, yeah. Tons of salt on it, and then you buy the meal and you're like, oh, we should all get our own dishes, and they're like huge and gigantic. We had to keep the food in our like storage space the rest of the day. Open it up, jambalaya just wafts right in your face.
Oh yeah, you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to heat that up later. But yeah, I'm trying to keep healthier, man. Low-key, I'm trying to lay off the meat lately. You know, I've been trying to eat a little more fish and
yeah, good for you, man. And I think a lot of people could probably guess, you know, whether is it really meat at Disney World? I don't know. Maybe that's a conversation for a different pod. Maybe you're doing the right thing, man. We are here. It's a Bears-Packers Week 6 preview. It's time to dive in. I got a little extra dressed up today because this is one of my favorite weeks of the year. Or is it? I mean, Corey, I want to get your take on this. But first, I just want to bring you my fan perspective on this whole thing here. And let's just kind of roll the clocks back. It's not pretty, Corey. Growing up, people are like, you know, why do you hate on the Packers so much? Well, you know, they're a miserable experience for me in my life. From 1992 to 1998, the Brett Favre years, Bears lost against the Packers for 5 straight seasons. They beat them twice and then lost to them again after winning 2 games for 4 more straight seasons. The Lovey era, things got a little bit better, right? But again, now here we are again. We've lost 15 out of our last 17. We're 4-19 in our last 23. And we've only beaten them twice since I met my wife. And I met my wife in 2015, Corey. It's been a long time. Here we are. We're at the precipice of it. How are you feeling walking in? Because I think everyone, even the national media, is saying, hey, the Chicago Bears team, they got a chance to win.
Yeah, no, I told you. In the past, I think this matchup really scared me. You know, I think everything that's been going on with Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers, I just don't think there's a lot of certainty there. You know, and I think – a lot of people say his head's not in it, or, you know, that they're not vibing and clicking like they once did. You know, I think them not having the complete offseason, you know, with Aaron Rodgers being there, et cetera, with everything, I feel like they're not operating on the same page. Yes, him and Davante Adams are, because I think that matchup with them, I mean, they're synced up. They got ESP. They know how each other work. But I feel like some of the other receivers, you know, you don't see that same chemistry that we saw in years prior, like with him and Lazard, and, you know, Randall Cobb has been there. But you look at the receivers and you got Davante Adams at almost 600 yards and then Randall Cobb's at 150.
Yeah.
So that tells you everything you need to know. And when the Bears play against a number one receiver, or number one receiving threat, they do pretty well against them. You know, you look at the past couple weeks. You know, Hockenson, that was the big one. And then Waller and Ruggs last week, they were able to contain them. So I think when you have one of those matchups, I think the Bears can contain that. And I feel good about it. I feel good about everything with the offense, the way that's rolling, Bill Lazor and company. I feel like the defense has really hit their stride. I told you, I think that Browns game, every team needs that bad loss, that kind of punches you in the face. And you're like, whoa, okay, we're either going to fight back or we're going to take it. And since then, they fought back, and I think they responded great. And I think we're going to look back on this and say that was the you know, pivotal moment in the season, that Browns game, when it was put up or shut up. And I think they're putting up. And, you know, I think this week I feel good about it. I think they played well against certain quarterbacks. And in the past, they haven't against Rodgers. But I think they have a new confidence, you know, with the way they're running the football and they're playing. And now you have Robert Quinn, too. So I feel really, really good about this matchup. And Khalil Mack, he loves to play against Aaron Rodgers. He plays pretty dang good against them. So I feel really good about this game.
When you say punch in the face, you mean like a Tyson Fury free shot, right? Like right to the, like two or three punches right to the face. That's what the Browns game felt like. And you're bringing up a great point where not only is it, you know, we went from the bottom of the basement right here. I don't want to say we're in the penthouse right now, but we're definitely out of that basement. Maybe we're in the kitchen. Maybe we're in the living room. And we're building on something moving forward. And in terms of the Packers, look, you know, NFC North is on the line with this game. If the Bears win, they go into a tie. It looks like, you know, the Packers have kind of righted the ship after a disastrous week one. But if you pull it up, there's some numbers that are pretty un-Packers-like. I mean, passing yards a game, only 247. That's 16th in the NFL. Chicago Bears are at 113, dead last. But, you know, the rushing yards, 21. You know, they're a middle-of-the-pack offense right now. And I don't really think that their defense is elite. And they usually kind of depend on that offense being that top five, top eight unit right now. And the way that it kind of lines up with our matchup, it's kind of getting to the point where, yeah, we can probably stay in this game if we do a couple of things correctly, which I think we're going to get into in just a minute here with our keys. And maybe I'm stepping on it, but I do want to just maybe we'll start it off with Aaron Rodgers, because I want to get your perspective on him as a former defensive player who's played against this dude. You know, I was talking to you on text. You're at Disney World right now. I was trying to think, is there a Packers villain that's like a Disney character villain? The best I came up with, Corey, I'm going to throw one out there, was Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
He's
always like, you know, he's always knocking other people down a little bit. He's a little brunish, broady man. He loves himself too much that he couldn't accept rejection at all. He's too self-entitled, and he thought that he could get everything that he wanted. Maybe a trade out of Green Bay. I don't know if there's any parallels there. But, Corey, man, just on a serious note, though, just talk about what it was like playing against Aaron Rodgers. You teased it a little bit, you know, last week on the preview, but what is it like to play against him? What is it like to go up against him? And what is it like to possibly stop him?
You know, I think when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, I think, and a lot of people throughout the league think he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Right. And we've talked about this in the locker rooms, you know, defensive players, they say, hey, well, you have to give it to Tom Brady because of the rings. Right. That's when it comes to quarterback position. But as far as pure talent and who scares you, Aaron Rodgers, for sure. I mean, just his efficiency. You look at his numbers are unbelievable. His ratio, touchdown to interceptions. He shows up for the most part in bigger games. Even when he doesn't have a running game or an old line, he's still putting up crazy numbers. I just think he has that mentality. Like, remember I told you, there's certain quarterbacks that can have a bad game, a really bad performance like he did week one, and bounce back like nothing ever happened. Because after that game, you heard him. He's like, it's one game. Like,
yeah, or bounce back more pissed off the next week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And take it out on somebody.
Touchdowns. Yeah, those four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw all of his picks in that first game that he has this season. So I think that's telling you everything you need to know about a quarterback that has a short memory and has confidence in himself. I think he's one of the most confident quarterbacks out there, you know, him and Tom Brady. But just what he can do, it's crazy, because when we used to play against him, we would worry about him so much, because you're like, not only is he a great passer in the pocket, he's even better when he gets outside the pocket, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I talked about when we were talking about last week with Rob Marinelli having that plan, you know, the Raiders against Justin Fields. That's the plan when Rob Marinelli was our coach for the Bears against Aaron Rodgers. Set the edge on that left side, that left defensive end on Aaron Rodgers' right side, because he loves to get outside of that pocket. And once he gets outside of that pocket, he is dangerous. That's when him and Davante Adams and Randall Cobb and Lazard, they have some of those streak plays where they just vibe off each other. They feel each other. And this is something they work in practice as well. And that's what makes him scary, because you're like, this guy's getting outside the pocket. You give him 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. And then you have a guy like Davante Adams. Like I said, they have that ESP. Like, they work, you know, simultaneously off each other, it's a nightmare matchup. And then you just talk about that confidence. Like, and he's such a competitor. You'll see during the game him and Khalil Mack talking back and forth, him and Akeem Hicks. And he loves to talk that smack.
Yeah, he's know? Smiling.
It's not like a Derek Carr where, you know, him and Khalil Mack are friends. Like, you know, it's like a rivalry competitor. Like, hey, you're going to bring that? You're going to talk that smack? I'll talk that smack back, okay? And so I think that's what separates him. And just the fact that, like I told you about that heart count. Like, I've never seen a quarterback go on six. Like, that doesn't exist. Like, you don't do that most of the time. Hut, 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 and that's it. But he'll go on six, get you off sides, and then you jump off. That's a free play. I can't tell you how many touchdowns or deep plays or big, big splash plays he has, because that's a free play right there. So he provides such a different element. And you remember I told you that most quarterbacks in this league need a good running game to make them comfortable passing the ball. Derek Carr, you know, guys like Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers in that way. You know, the year he won the Super Bowl, my rookie year, they had a record number of people on injury reserve. They had no rushing game at all. They had, you know, people banged up on the O-line.
Hey, Jordy.
It didn't matter.
Where are you, right? Jordy? Yeah, that's
exactly. So it didn't matter. The thing is, he's one of those guys that he doesn't need a run game. He doesn't need a good O-line. He can manage without it. You know, and that's what makes him special. And if you were to poll, you know, 10 guys in an NFL team right now, who are they more scared of, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? 9 out of 10 would say Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And that's just that going against them. And I mean, I don't know, as a fan, you hear Green Bay against Chicago or Tampa Bay against Chicago. What brings more fear to you?
Oh, great. I mean, Green Bay, no doubt. I mean, the stuff that you're bringing up, you know, I'm just racking up a couple names in my head real quick. You've got, like, the Bradys, the Montanas, and the Peytons, right? Just surgeons in the pocket. Dudes that I felt like, hey, if you want to get 3 points, you want to get 7 points, they're going to go out and they're just going to get it for you because they can just figure it out, just dice you up. And then you've got players like Elway, who was able to get out of the pocket, and guys like Favre. That, in my opinion, when I think of them, I think of, like, guts and I think of heart, you know? But Aaron Rodgers, to me, this is going to suck that I'm going to say this, but this is absolutely true. You combine the quick release, the arm strength, the footwork, the outside the pocket, the brains, the ability to do it from in the pocket, the ability to do the Hail Mary down the field. He's kind of probably the most talented quarterback I've ever watched in my life. Mahomes, I think, is right there. I just don't know if Mahomes – and I'm not trying to knock Mahomes. This is just high praise for Rodgers. I don't know if Mahomes has mastered, like, the mental, the brains of the whole game yet. But, oh, God forbid, he's in his third year in the NFL, right? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I'm right there with you, man. Rodgers is a terrifying, terrifying entity. And for us, it's like, for me, you know, I grew up a Jordan fan. Like, I always want to beat the best, right? I want to beat the guys that have always been in front of you. You know, I want to climb that hill. I want to overcome and conquest that foe. For me and Rodgers, if he wants out of the NFC North, man, I'll pack your bags. What time do you want me to call an Uber, dude? I'm gonna help you. I got a deal right now, 20% off every Uber. I'm gonna, you know, all that stuff. So, I'm right there with you, man. He's really incredible. He's an incredible quarterback. And maybe this can dive into one of our, you know, let's start doing our keys for Bears victory in Week 1. I'm gonna throw one out there just real quick. I don't have a ton of keys in this game because I kind of feel like the Bears know what they need to do on offense. And I want to hear what you're going to bring from the defensive side. I'm dying to hear that. Okay. My first one is just calm the storm. You know, weather the storm early on, because I've watched enough Bears games, Packers games in my life where Rodgers comes down, knifes through us, 6 plays, 76 yards, touchdown, first drive, knocks the crowd out of it. We got a rookie quarterback coming in. I don't want to be playing catch-up that early in the game. I just think weathering the storm against a player like Rodgers is going to be one of our biggest keys. Even if it is a field goal, let's keep it to 3-0. We got to avoid that 7-0, 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. That's my first key.
I like that. You know, I think that's a crucial thing. And I think if you can get off on that first possession with a possible 3-and-out, or if they don't sustain a drive, I think that's the thing. You get them off the field, you get your offense on the field, you take the ball out of his hands. I think that's such a momentum builder, especially being a game at home against the Packers. I think that's critical there. So I really like that. And I think, like you said, in the past, there's been a lot of times where games have started out ugly, 14-0, you know, 10-0 against a guy like Aaron Rodgers in the first two possessions. So if they can be like the Bears defense, if they can be how they were the past couple of weeks, really being able to get these stops, you know, since that Browns game, I think they've done a pretty good job defensively of getting off the field, getting Justin Fields and the offense the ball back. And, you know, I think that's crucial against a guy like Rodgers, you know, keep him off the field as much as possible.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Corey, toss me, what's your first key to a Bears victory, Bears-Packers week six?
Containing Aaron Rodgers, right? You remember I talked about that right side, his right side, our defense is left. That was always the key to stopping him because he gets a little antsy at times in the pocket. He feels more comfortable sometimes on the run. I think people think, oh, he's a great pocket passer, but his completion percentage is actually higher outside the pocket, which is unbelievable. There's not many quarterbacks that are like that. You know, when they're throwing on the run, right? Feet not set the way you're supposed to, his completion percentage is higher. That's an anomaly in this league. And I think he loves, like I said, that defensive left side. So Khalil Mack, right? That's a guy that has to set the edge all week. And I think he's going to have a huge game this week because, hey, he sets that edge right there. Who is going to open up my man, Robert Quinn? That looks like 2013 season again when he had 19 sacks. He has that same explosion he did back then. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, he's an aging guy, maybe he's just getting older.
He's chasing running backs down.
Exactly. I mean, the effort is unbelievable. I love what I'm seeing from him. So I think the Bears haven't had this tandem like this in a minute. You know, these two defensive ends that are double-digit sack guys that are two, you know, of the best rushers in the league right now. So I think that's – if Khalil Mack can set that edge on Aaron Rodgers and the defensive line in general work together and keep him contained. Because I think if you can keep him inside the pocket, that's how you contain a guy like Rodgers, you know. Everyone says, no, he's a great passer. But he likes – to throw outside the pocket. That's where he feels comfortable, right? He can throw in the pocket as well. But I think if they can keep him contained, that's going to be the key thing. So, you know, fans out there, watch for that defensive left side, his right side. If we can set that edge, and sometimes Khalil Mack can do a great job of setting the edge, but he can come inside in that B gap in there when the rush lanes open up. So rush together, right? If Khalil Mack is setting that edge, the guys inside have to push the pocket and really, really force him out there and not give him any lanes to step up in. So that's going to be key to work together in that rush.
A little bit of a follow-up to that. You know, you're just hearing reports. I don't watch every snap of Packers games. Obviously, Bakhtiari is still out. A little banged up still on the offensive line. I think it might be safe to say that there is advantage. Advantage Bears, defensive line versus their O-line.
Oh.
So what do you think the Packers want to do against the Chicago Bears defense? What do you think on that, maybe that first drive, what are they going to try and do? Is it misdirection? Is it run the ball? Is it quick pass? What do you think they're going to try and do out there?
Yeah, I think off the bat, knowing Aaron Rodgers and knowing that offense, I think they're going to do a lot of three-step drops early on.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do a lot of screens, wide receiver, quick screens, you know, some of those screens across there to a guy like Randall Cobb. I think they're going to do some screens, draws, really to keep that defensive line off balance, you know, because I think they know that deep down, you know, especially with Bakhtiari out and Robert Quinn absolutely going off and looking great this season, they're not going to want to leave the left tackle one-on-one with him. And so I think they're really going to try to keep them off balance with those screens and draws early on. And then as the game opens up, they're going to offer a lot of chip help, you know, especially on that left side against Robert Quinn. So I would be surprised if Robert Quinn is one-on-one much at all, you know, because I think Aaron Rodgers feels comfortable with that matchup against Khalil Mack. Not to say that Khalil Mack is not going to dominate, but I think he feels comfortable getting outside the pocket, maneuvering to his right side, our defense's left. So, you know, I think that's how they're going to try to game plan. You know, and they really haven't run the ball that well this year. You know, I think they've – And that's kind of never been their mantra, that, you know, with the exception of Eddie Lacy for a few years.
No, they're 21st in the NFL right now in rushing, yeah, running the ball. Aaron Rodgers is good. I'm sorry, Aaron Jones is good. AJ Dillon is solid. Yeah. They don't really.
Yeah, that's not their mantra. You know how the Bears have been like a 2-1 in favor of the run. The Packers are the other way around, pass run. Yeah. So that's how they've always been, with the exception, like I said, of the years where they had Eddie Lacy, and then before that, Ryan Grant. You know, that's been their keys. You know, they know what they want to do. They want to get Aaron Rodgers involved, and Devontae Adams, in my opinion, is one of the best wide receivers in the game. So they're going to try to go after him. But I think, you know, just keeping him contained, I think that's key. And hey, it might be a thing where the defense gets a little frustrated at first, but don't let that get in your head, right? Continue rushing, because there's going to be a time where he holds the ball, and that's going to be a thing, because we cannot give him, you know, the 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds like we've seen in the past couple of weeks, you know, on some of those third and long situations, because a guy like Aaron Rodgers will carve you up. And like I said, what separates him and that team from everyone else is they have design plays off when he's holding the ball for a while, when he gets outside the pocket. And that's what's so different, right? Because you look at some of the other teams, and sometimes the receivers don't know what to do, because nobody thinks they're going to get 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds in this league with the talented pass rusher. But they work on that all the time since Aaron Rodgers first got there. It's like, hey, if he gets that time, they're going to run designed go routes. And like I said, it's hard for any defensive back to cover a guy in this league, especially a guy like Devontae Adams, for 8 seconds. That's impossible.
Yeah.
So it's going to be key to dial up that blitz. You know, I think, you know, the front four has worked pretty good on first and second downs, but in third down situations, we need that blitz.
In the moments when Bears defenses of the past have had success against Rodgers, you'll see him early in the game kind of like surveying what he sees, not liking it, and just doing the throwaway. Almost exactly. Like he's almost like, you know, like a hitter at the plate. Like he's kind of spitting on that curveball, right, and kind of waiting for that fastball and waiting for that moment. And that's so interesting. I had no idea that they design plays for when plays break down.
Exactly.
That's next level, right?
It is.
And that is Aaron. That's what we're up against when you play a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I'm also really curious to see. There's a little news out there. People asking Jalen Johnson this week how he feels about taking on Devontae Adams, and he more or less, not verbatim, but he's just like, bring it on. You know what I mean? I expect to take on all the corners in the league. And I'm really kind of interested to see what that matchup looks like too as well. Corey, toss me another key, man. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's my key right there. Jalen Johnson against Devontae Adams, right? We all know, us as analysts, fans know where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. I mean, the tape doesn't lie. The games don't lie. They know what they want to do. Like I said, Devontae Adams has almost 600 yards receiving already in this season. And his next receiver is Randall Cobb with like 150. So that tells you everything where they're going, right? And so Jalen Johnson, most of the time, is going to be matched up on him. So I want to see, right? Because Gibson had said this year, right, a guy that's been a Pro Bowler, this is one of the rising stars in this league. I believe in 2-3 years, this guy is going to be a top 5 cornerback. That's what he said about Jalen Johnson. So I think, hey, big opportunity right here against one of the best in the league, right? 99 in Madden, Devontae Adams, one of the best. How are you going to be physical? You know, that's what I want to see from him. I want to see him be physical against him, you know, because at times when people have been physical with Devontae Adams, that's when he struggled a little bit. So I want to see you be physical with him, right? And I know Sean Desai is going to have a plan to keep some more help over the top, whether it's Eddie Jackson and company. But I think – you know, if Jalen Johnson can have some confidence early on with some key breakups, or maybe they're not targeting Devontae Adams as much, which I doubt is going to happen. But if he can get physical with him, if he can have some pass breakups, I think that might get in his head a little bit, you know. And I think it's going to take the rush too, right, to help him out. Remember I said this rush and cover works out. So if Robert Quinn and company and Sean Desai can dial up that blitz package, I think that's going to make everything easier. If the ball's out quicker, we're doing some press coverage. That's what I want to see this week, especially because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get the ball out very quick, because I don't think he wants to take any time with Bakhtiari still being out. So if we can get there quick, you know, make the ball come out quick, do some press coverage, not stay off like we've been seeing sometimes in third and long situations, 10 yards off the ball, 12 yards off the ball. Let's get physical, right? Like Tom, physical. Let's get physical this week. But Jalen Johnson, I want to see him step up, right? This is one of the guys that we think can be a rising star in this league. He's shown at times he can make some plays and he can cover the best. But, hey, this week, you got to love it. You're one of your young bucks that you think is a rising star going against the best guy in the league. Let's see what you got. And he said, bring it. Let's bring it, right?
No, this is one of the real tests. The real test.
Big boy pads, right? You know, hey, You know, it's like when you're a kid, right? You know, when you're in the preteen section or whatever, and then all of a sudden you bump up to the big boy pants. That's what it is this week. I want to see him today.
Yeah.
Right. I want to see him get his new pair of Levi's. You know, Levi's used to be the thing back in the day, you know.
World reference. They measure you up and they say, son, you're allowed to ride this ride. You're officially able to get on it.
Exactly. I want to see that, because I think if he can have his coming out party in a game like tonight, because we love what we've seen, but I think that will really solidify his place, you know, as a rising cornerback in this league. If he can go toe to toe with a guy like Davante Adams, that's had 62 targets this year. So you know where they're going at, right?
I was going to say, keep in mind too. I mean, these are some of those Jalen Johnson's got his own calendar looking at stuff, but you know, next week is Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. Couple weeks after that, it's a Deontay Johnson. Couple weeks after that, you know, you're going to see a DeAndre Hopkins. You're going to see a DK Metcalf. I mean, this is kind of one of the first of many tests. And perhaps I would say Davante Adams might be the best of them all. So not a bad place to start for sure. And I also wanted to bring up something that you're kind of getting at, where I think for Bears fans, normal Bears fans is just watching the game. You know, I think they want to see, you know, a sack as a positive play. Incompletion is a positive play. But what you're kind of alluding to is I'm going to keep my eye on early in this game. Of if we get a strong rush and Aaron Rodgers, not maybe back foot, but has to do kind of off that back foot, quick release to Davante Adams. Devontae's doing hand stuff with Jalen. He kind of gets free, gets a tight little catch for 5 yards. And then Deion Bush just comes in and just pops him. And it's a completion, right? And we go, darn it, they caught the ball. But Davante gets up a little bit. The rush is happening. I mean, I think that's something, too, that can be one of those tone setters. Early on in the game, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at a little bit.
Exactly, and think about it. If he comes across the middle and they're in his own coverage and Roquan Smith, right, I think he's going to feel that one, because everybody that's been hit by Roquan Smith, you look at last week, Derek Carr thought he can come up in A-gap. Not today, sir, right? Like Terry Tate, office linebacker, the old commercials. No, sir, right? And then in the end zone, I think it was Renfro. Get some of that shoulder action. Sweet chin music. No, sir. So I think the thing is setting the tone, being physical with them. And I think every receiver in this league, nobody wants to get hit, to be honest. It's not like the old school players like a Hines Ward that would go across the middle like a tight end and take your hit and then get up and say first down. People don't want to take those hits anymore. So I think if you can get physical with them early on, and I want to see more press coverage, right, because I think the ball is going to come out quicker, right? If we can get it home with the rush, get some of that press coverage, be physical. Be physical. That's the key this week.
If I can interject real quick, do you think some of that has to do with scheme, or some of that has to do with a little bit of personnel of, you know, we got Kendall Vildor coming in there. We want to set him up for success early on in the season. And as we're kind of learning, maybe he's able to take on a little bit more as in press coverage.
Yeah. I think that's the key. I think early on, right, we have to remember that this is Sean Desai's first rodeo at this, right, with the defensive coordinator. So, he has a lot of experience learning under guys and et cetera. But you know how it goes. When you're first out there, you're really just trying to stay status quo. And, hey, he doesn't want to make too many mistakes. And I think we've seen as the season has gone on, the play calling has been better. Like my only criticism has been those third and long situations. You know, And I think at times playing off defenders too much in situation. If you know it's third and eight, why are you 12 yards off the ball? That doesn't make any sense, right? And that should be something up top from the secondary coach, like saying, hey, it's third and eight. You know, most of the time on those situations, they're not taking a shot like that. Like they're going for the first down majority of the time, right? That's why you play that zone over the top. So I just want to see them be a little bit more physical. Don't have such a cushion. Right. And don't get nervous. Jalen Johnson can run with a guy like Davante Adams, you know. So don't play off too much, you know, guys like that against Randall Cobb. I want to see them play up on guys more and be more physical, because I think that sets the tone. And I think we'll see a physical Bears defense. I think every week from the secondary position, they've been more physical. When the first week I was like, "Ooh, what's going on?" Right? But then after that Browns game, right? After that Browns game, I think we saw a different animal. And I think that's what's going to be the tone of this team, physical from top to bottom. And that's a great thing. Joey, is when you see defensive backs hitting and tackling and sticking their face in there. Well, you can't really stick your head in on the ball carrier anymore, but shoulders, you know. But you know what I mean. You know the old analogy, sticking your face in there. That's what I love to see when those defensive backs are doing that and they're tackling. That's when you know you have a physical defense.
Yeah, a little bit of that old Chris Harris style. Maybe a little
exactly
something like that. Just a little bit like right? that. I want to throw a key out to you. This is general, but I think it speaks a little bit of how we should approach the game philosophically. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of us think that we're going to run the football. I'm just calling this category 24. And no, I'm not talking about the TV show. Right now, I'm talking about Green Bay Packers. Surprisingly, right now, 27th in the NFL in red zone to touchdown ratio. Usually that's something that's Aaron Rodgers' bread and butter. Coincidentally, they're only averaging 24 points a game right now. The Chicago Bears averaging 16.8 points per game. I know those are just numbers on a piece of paper, but I will tell you something right now. If the Chicago Bears score less than 17 points, they're probably not going to win this game. If they get closer to that 24 number, I think they've got a really strong shot to win this game. And I want to get your perspective on the offense and, you know, a little bit on what we can expect from Justin Fields, because I teased it in last week's preview. You know, again, this is a Chicago Bears rite of passage for Justin Fields. When we get these rookie quarterbacks or when we trade for Jay Cutler, we do all the signs of how does he look? Who's the offensive coordinator? Are they doing the right plays? Do we have enough offensive weapons? But playing the Packers, it's a separate category. And he's about to be baptized like an Italian beef in a juice this weekend because we just look at these games as Bears fans differently. And it's just almost as if Justin Fields, if he can go out and win this game, it just kind of changes the whole narrative, the whole tenor of his trajectory moving forward, even if his numbers aren't great, right? Because I don't even think we care about the numbers right now. We care about the W's. So my key category is 24, trying to get to that number offensively.
Yeah, no, I like that. I agree with that. And I think this week, I really think we're going to see a breakout game for him. And I'm going to tell you why, because I think that Green Bay's defense is not that good. I don't think so, especially with Za'Darius Smith out for the rest of the year. I think without him and Preston Smith were a great combo and tandem together. But without him, Preston Smith hasn't done as well as he did in prior years. Rashawn Gary has been spotty at times. I mean, that's been his career so far, the other defensive end in there. He looks good at times. Other times, he doesn't so much. He's not a very consistent player. He's flashed at times rushing. I think it's a team you can get after. You know, and I think passing the ball, you know, they've had some games like the Saints game where Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns, you know, so I think they are very beatable in the pass game. You know, I think against the run, you know, they play the run well at times, but I think this Bears team is going to be physical with them. And especially with this rivalry here, I like the matchups, you know, with the offensive line against their defensive line running the football. And I just think this is going to be a breakout game because I'm going to tell you why. Bill Lazor, I think, is going to have a great plan this week, right? The Raiders game, I told you, I didn't think it was going to be this great offensive performance. I thought it was going to be a Gruden grinder. Gruden grinder type of game, you know? get him out of here.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought. I thought it was going to come down to which team, you know, ran the football better. I don't think it's going to be this way at all this week. I think the running game is going to set up the pass. And I think Justin Fields this week is going to have his breakout game. I don't think he's going to throw for 300 yards, but I think he'll have 2 to 250, somewhere in that range, and I think he'll have 3 touchdowns.
Wow. Because
I think they're going to exploit some of those matchups up there. And I think Bill Lazor is going to do all the things that he did in that Lions game, you know, and look at some of those matchups, because I think their defenses are very similar, right? I don't think there's a lot of guys on that Green Bay Packers defense, and I think this is a matchup they can exploit. And you look at that Lions game, Justin Fields had one of his best performances. He looked great out there throwing the football down the field. I think it's going to be similar to that, and I think he'll have 3 touchdowns for sure, because I think with that running game, you know, going, I think they're going to do some of those hard play actions that he's very comfortable with, right? And then him and Mooney and Robinson, I think that's going to be on the same page. And every game I said it's going to be a little bit better because of the comfort level, because he didn't have that offseason with him. He didn't have all those reps with him. And I think with that rivalry, I mean, every coach is going to bring their best. I think Bill Lazor is going to have that plan for him. And I think Justin Fields is a competitor. And I think he's going to want to go mano-a-mano against Aaron Rodgers, right? And, you know, I think I think he's going to want to outshine him, you know, and I think this could be an opportunity where he can, because I think the way the defense is playing, you know, Green Bay not having their left tackle and Bakhtiari, Robert Quinn playing the way he is, I think all the stars are starting to align, you know, and I think that the thing is like this, Justin Fields, I don't feel like he feels comfortable with his last performance, right? Just like when we saw in the Browns game, what did he do? Bounce back with the Lions game. So after a bad performance, he bounces back, just like when he played Northwestern a couple years ago in that Big Ten championship, didn't have a great game.
When anyone plays Northwestern though, they're always in for a rough weekend, right?
I don't know about this year. You know, I love my cats. But back then, you know, when he had a bad performance again, it comes back against Trevor Lawrence and Clemson and has a remark, outshines him, outplays him. So I think when he has a bad game the next week, he bounces back. And I've traced most of his games from Ohio State, you know, to high school. He's a competitor and he wants to bounce back. I think he's very critical of himself, but I think he knows what he needs to do to get better. And I think we're going to see his breakout performance this week.
And I'm with you where if you pull up some of the Packers' numbers, they're not giving up a ton of passing yards, but that doesn't seem to be – that's not really Justin Fields' bag so far in the early portions of his career, where against that Detroit game, I think it was maybe only 200 yards, but, man, those were 200 of the more impactful yards you will ever really watch in a football game because of these big plays and all the stuff that he was able to connect with Darnell Mooney down the field. I'm you got me convinced a little bit. I kind of think this is going to be an Allen Robinson breakout game, personally.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure. Hopefully, they'll be able to pull it off with, you know, some of that play action, you know, a little bit further down the field. But I just kind of noticed, and did you pick up on? It just seemed like that their chemistry, they got a little bit more on the same page last week. I think that there's a trust factor that's being built overnight, you know, day by day, practice by practice, rep by rep, where he's starting to say. You know, of course he knows Allen Robinson is good, but you don't know until you throw him the ball. And maybe sometimes on those moments, I'm sure quarterbacks like put it in a spot and they just say, hey, go make a play. You don't know what's going to happen all the time. Yeah. And I think he's starting to realize, hey, if I put the ball in a spot, Allen Robinson's going to come down with it. And maybe this is the week where that kind of really comes to fruition. Because the week after, I don't want to get too far ahead, but the Buccaneers, their defense isn't very good. It's not very good. So this is a really interesting stepping stone week that could also maybe help pull up, you know, some further success down the road.
Yeah, I think like you said last week, they seem like on the same page. And I know he didn't light up the numbers. You know, the connection between him and Allen Robinson, you know, they didn't light it up. But you saw in certain situations when he needed to get the ball for completion or a first down, get it down the field. And he was just like, listen, I'm going to throw it to Allen Robinson. And I know he's got a guy on him, but hey, he's going to go up and get it. He's going to get his grown man on. He's going to showcase like, hey, I'm stronger than this guy. I'm bigger than this guy. I'm going to use my body and I'm going to get the ball. There's a couple of times you're like, oh, what would he do? And all of a sudden Allen Robinson goes up and gets it, grabs it with his hands, strong hands, comes on with the catch. And that's what you love to see, because every quarterback has that receiver that they feel comfortable with when the game's on the line, you know, the first down's on the line, when they need a completion, that, hey, I'm going to throw it up to this guy. And hey, 90% of the league, 98% of the league, they're not going to get it, but this guy's going to get it, you know? And I think Allen Robinson is that guy just because of how big and physical he is. And I think there's not many people that can stick him, you know, because I think he reminds me a lot of a guy like Brandon Marshall. You know,
yes,
a guy that's big, physical, that has strong hands, right? That can use his body. That's maybe not a burner down the field, right?
Covered and still is going to come down with the catch.
Exactly, and that's what you need, because it's hard to get separation in this league because, you know, defensive backs are good. So the thing is, they're always going to be on you coverage wise, but it's about being able to anticipate, right? And I think that what we saw last week, but there's some times where as a quarterback and receiver, you're looking at each other and you're knowing, hey, that defensive back is not looking at the ball. So what am I going to do? Throw it up to my guy. And at the last second, he's going to go up and look up and catch the ball. And that's what you see with a guy like Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and countless amount of receivers over the years. He would throw that back shoulder fade and you couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we're going to see with him and Allen Robinson is that type of play. you know, I mean, that's kind of what it was last week, almost like a back shoulder where you throw the ball where, you know, the other guy's not expecting it. Last second, he turns and catches the ball. So that's what we need to see more of, especially with him and a guy like that, because that's an incredible matchup. That's a security blanket for a guy like Justin Fields, right? When he's scrambling and he's like, oh, shoot, there's a guy spying me. I don't have it. Let me throw it up to my big fella, Allen Robinson. He'll go up and jump ball and moss him. So let's see that.
Yeah, and that's why I think a lot of, you know, NFL fans, I think they kind of get it misconstrued sometimes that it is really, it's really like this teammate. There are two sides of this whole thing. I've been diving really hard. I'm doing the Kurt Warner study ball thing every single week. And dude, Corey, it's kind of blowing my mind because just as someone that never played the game professionally, he's just walking you through how when you have high safety and you've got two guys coming down, you know, one guy's got a gun on him on the inside, he's got to make a choice between high safety. And the one play is either waiting on a break, and then the other one is maybe waiting on what the high safety does. And then you just pass into space. You know what I mean? Exactly. This is where I'm going to put the football, where defenders aren't, where I know my receiver is going to go and get it. That's where I think Justin Fields is learning. Allen Robinson, you know, Pro Bowl receiver, when he starts seeing those things that maybe he felt a little hesitant about in that Browns game, I think he's getting a little bit closer to maybe, you know, pulling that trigger and trusting his guys and making sure that it happens, you know what I mean, as he moves along. And I can't wait to see that maturation process over the next couple of weeks.
Exactly. I'm going to love that matchup. And do you have any more keys for this game?
I don't have any more keys. Do you have any more? I got a couple over for you that I want.
I got one more key. And I think it's like this, right? Because I think when you play a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's different than most players, right? Quarters 1 through 3, you can completely dominate him, right? And you're thinking you got this game in the bag. But finish the fourth quarter, because I think that's great where call. It comes. Because you look at the past few games, right? All of these games have been tight in the fourth quarter. But they haven't had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
And we've kind of let the Lions, the Bengals, and the Raiders all score in the fourth quarter. Yeah,
exactly. And score, like, look at Joe Burrow after throwing 3 picks in a row, right? Coming back in that fourth quarter and putting the game down to the wire, right? Last week.
And real quick, I was looking this up. Packers also, they're giving up 8.6 points in the fourth quarter too as well. So their defense has been giving it up as well. But please keep going, because this is a fantastic, huge key to the game.
Yeah, so when that fourth quarter hits, you have the lead, right? And it could be a nice lead where you got a 1-2-3 score lead, possibly, depending on how they're doing offensively. Finish the game. Mm-hmm. Don't think you have it in the bag. Continue to get after the offense and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and continue to finish the game. Finish the fourth quarter. Because a guy like Aaron Rodgers, when he knows he needs to score, they do that hurry-up offense, that two-minute style offense, and they really flourish in that. Because we've all seen throughout the years in games where he's down and out and the offense isn't doing well, they're going to lose, he'll come back and orchestrate that fourth quarter comeback where he's throwing a Hail Mary in the end zone and they walk off the field with a victory. We don't want to see that. So finish the fourth quarter, right? Finish the game and get
spoken like a man who's been in the Randall Cobb game before, I think.
Yes. Right. In 2013, my last year for the Bears, man, when we were in the playoffs, it came down to one final play, a blown coverage, a misholding call on me where I got held like crazy. And I still had a screenshot because somebody sent it to me online back when it happened. And it was literally my jersey was being pulled like this from behind.
Good grief.
So, but we can't let it finish like that. So finish the fourth quarter. Finish Aaron Rodgers. Do not let him get outside the pocket, and do not let them have a fourth quarter comeback. Because I think the game comes down to the fourth quarter, right? Because quarters 1 through 3 are great, but it doesn't matter if you don't finish. You got to finish Aaron Rodgers. You can't let him creep in. You can't give him hope, because if there's a little inch, he's going to take it. He's going to try to get more. So finish the fourth quarter.
I can't agree with you more. And honestly, it didn't dawn on me, but you brought it up. And now I think it's perhaps maybe one of the bigger keys in the game, because just if you go back and you look into Bears lore, and let's go back to that game just real quick, you know, against Randall Cobb, that Randall Cobb game. If you go back, Jay Cutler throws a go-ahead touchdown, I think at the end of the third quarter or early fourth quarter, somewhere in that range. And if we hold on to that game and we win that game, Jay Cutler's narrative changes. I don't know if it you know, I don't think we're singing his praises, but I do think it, we can put that one on the board of like, hey, the dude came up and he beat the Packers, brought us into the playoffs on that one pass. It's just funny that, you know, we could have Justin Fields throw for 285 and three, you know what I mean? And if we don't, you know, take care of business and have a lead and we blow a lead in the fourth quarter, it's not what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about once again losing to Aaron Rodgers. So that's just kind of how these, sometimes these little storylines, these little narratives, are, you know, Corey Wooten getting held on that final play. You know, who knows what happens, you know, how these little things change and how narratives switch and flip as it moves on. And I think what we're all trying to root for is Justin Fields to come out and beat the Green Bay Packers in week six. Got a couple over-unders for you, and then let's do final score. First one, over-under, we kind of already talked about it. Just throw it out there. Over-under 80.5 receiving yards for Allen Robinson.
I think over this week.
That's the week, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to really challenge that matchup this week against the Green Bay secondary. I think they're on the same page. And I think, like I said, Justin Fields is a competitor. He's going to be eager to pass the ball this week. I think the run game is going to set it up. We're going to see some of those hard play actions like we saw in the Lions game. That's where he really thrives in this offense. So I think Allen Robinson over 80 yards.
Chicago Bears right now lead the NFL in sacks, so this is a pretty straightforward one. Over under 3.5 sacks against Aaron.
I say over.
Ooh, you were ready. You hopped on that.
I was ready. You know, I think Mac and Quinn, I think this would be a great matchup. I think Roquan's going to have a sack or two because I'm going to like that matchup against him one-on-one against a guy like Aaron Jones because, like I said, him against a running back, every time he's going to run around you, he's going to run through you. He's going to pick your poison. Go against Roquan one-on-one. I like that matchup. I like Khalil Mack against Rodgers. He's had some great games against them. Even you remember his debut game a couple years ago when he had the interception. He had a bunch of sacks.
Oh, he ran it back. Who can forget? Rodgers left hurt.
Exactly.
It was great. He came back in the second half and ruined my life.
Exactly. And I would love to see a nice safety blitz in there as well. You know, maybe get a sack that way. Dial up that blitz package. I think Sean Desai is going to need to get the pressure on Aaron Rodgers, get that ball out quick. And if the coverage can make him hold it, I think they'll have 4 to 5 sacks this week.
I love it. And there's in my head, my hope is that it could, there's a moment in the game, maybe second quarter, where it comes in bunches, right? Where it comes like 2 sacks and 4 or 5 plays or something, you know, and they go to the sideline and they're like, hey, we got to like kind of reconfigure this whole thing. We got to recalibrate because this is a problem. They're definitely getting to us. There's a jailbreak going on. We got to figure this one out.
Exactly.
So conversely, over under 0.5 interceptions for Rodgers. Do you think we pick him off? Maybe a tip pass?
I think we get at least one on him. You know, I think that'll probably be the lone interception. He doesn't turn the ball over too much.
It's
I mean,
hard.
That first game. It's kind of an anomaly. He's not one of those quarterbacks that really turns it over, to be honest. And I think they'll get at least one because I think they're really going to dial up that blitz package because that's kind of been the missing component of the Bears. I think they're firing on all cylinders. But when it comes down to those third and long situation, third and medium to long, they kind of have been struggling getting pressure. So I think that pressure is going to make him throw at least one pick, maybe off a tip, thing of that nature. So I think they'll get one.
It's really, really hard to pick him off unless there is some sort of tip or something happens there where it isn't necessarily completely his fault. I do kind of like maybe a strip sack in the game because what I've noticed is when Bears defenders are kind of, you know, rushing all around these guys, it's not exactly like a clean get home. Some of these dudes have been kind of like trying to barely get the ball out, and Aaron Rodgers is always going to try and make a play no matter what happens, so maybe he gets a little careless with the football. My final one for you, not really an over-under, but – who has more rushing yards in this game, Damian Williams, Khalil Herbert, and for fun, Justin Fields?
Khalil Herbert. You know, I think after that last game, I think we saw the juice. I think we saw why he was drafted by the Bears this past year. I think he really takes advantage of David Montgomery being out. I think that's a great punt, 1-2 punch, him and Williams. But I think he has his breakout game. I think he has at least 100 yards himself rushing.
I'm gonna say that.
I really like what I saw from him. You just look at the trend of this Bears offense and really establishing that run first. And I think this matchup against them, the O-line against the D-line, I think it's favorable for them. Just the way they've been running the football, that's the tone of the offense, physical. And I think it sets everything else up. So I think Khalil Herbert has his coming out party. I think he gets that 100 game. I think he averaged at least five a pop. I'm gonna go big
like,
this week.
I was gonna guess, like, you know, he seems like the dude that's he can rip off that 30, 35 yarder, 45 yarder. You know what I mean? Maybe we got
and he can grind him out too and carry some defenders like he did last week. Those legs were chugging along.
Right? Yeah. Corey, let's do it, man. Final score, week 6, Bears Packers. What do you got? Who's gonna win?
So you brought up a key number, that 24 points. So I'm gonna say 24-20. Bears win. I think it's a tight one. I think it comes down to that fourth quarter. You know, I think we're gonna have great success against Rodgers, quarters 1 through 3. I think they're gonna score some in that fourth quarter, but I think we're gonna come out on top, and it's gonna come down to getting some first downs through the offense at the end of the game. And I think that physical running style is going to prevail to victory for the Bears.
Corey, I'm going to do something here right now. Dude, look, I need to represent all Bears fans on this one, right? Because in some sort of crazy way, as you learn with fans in life, we think that we can control the universe with our, like, our thoughts and our feelings. And you know what, man, I'm too old in this life to pick the Bears right now. I'm picking the Packers are going to win because you want to know why, Corey? Show me. Seriously. Bears, show me. This defense, this physical defense, we're building momentum. We're on the right track. This is a critical step right here. This is a huge step because if we can win this game the way and the brand of football that we've been playing the last couple weeks, man, this opens up a lot of doors. It really, really does for the rest of the season. And I've just seen too much. I've seen too much, Corey. The Bears have disappointed me against the Packers for far too long. And you know what? I love Justin Fields to death. But again, he's being baptized Bears Packers for the first time ever. I'm going against.
You think it's going to be too much pressure? You think it's going to be too much
pressure? No, I just think, like, if I could write up a scenario, you know, I think that they are going to play well. But I'm thinking more of like a 23-20 type loss where maybe we look back at a couple moments in the red zone and say, man, if we had just completed this pass and not kicked the field goal, because you can't kick field goals against Aaron Rodgers. You just can't do that. And we've been kind of doing that a little bit lately. Those field goals got to turn into touchdowns. Look, man, I don't even feel great about the call. But look, I'm just saying, like, you know, prove me wrong. I want to be wrong with this one. You know what I mean? Show me as a Bears fan right now that this team, this defense is here to stay. Show me with Justin Fields that maybe he isn't the quarterback of the past. And show me with this running game because we've done it for 2 weeks in a row. And look, the story's out, man. Everyone knows that we're running the football now, right? The Green Bay Packers know. Everyone in the NFL knows. So this is a really key week for me because we're going to come out there. We're still going to run the football. And we're going to have to show them that we can have success doing it, man. So I got to be honest. I mean, this is just where I'm going to go. This is great because we're both 3-2 on our picks this year, which means we're one way or the other.
We're going to see.
I'm happy to say that I'm wrong. I want to be proven wrong. And as a Bears fan, I just want – just show me, man. We're 4-19 against them in the last 23 games.
This year does not scare me like it does in the past years because I think they're not firing on all cylinders offensively like they normally do. You know, I think him and Devontae Adams have that matchup. I just think there's some tension between him and the Packers organization.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he cares about how he performs or whatever, but I just don't think there's a sense of team and unity that we saw in the years prior.
Well, and if you roll it back to, what was it, 2 years ago when LaFleur got hired, their offense wasn't great, and there was a lot of weird kind of like pecking back and forth in postgame quotes and all this other stuff. And then last year, the mantra or the narrative or whatever out of training camp was that Rodgers bought in with LaFleur, and they were on the same page. And, dude, they had a fantastic season.
Exactly.
I completely agree with you that now – I'm not trying to say that Aaron Rodgers isn't invested with the Green Bay Packers, but you can tell he's kind of a man apart, right? Yep. He just seems like he's not – one of the 52, and him and the coach are just pass each other by in the hallway, right, at work.
Exactly.
They're not really like buddy. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. How are you? Great. Good. See ya. You know what I mean? And just kind of passing each other. So, and I think that means something, right? And I'm sure you can speak on it, right? I don't know if you've ever been on a team where someone felt like that they were a man on an island among a group of 52 men, but I'm sure you can imagine what that would be like to deal with that in a locker room during a long football season.
I couldn't imagine. And especially a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who in his opinion felt like he doesn't get enough respect in this league, right? One of the best to ever play, and they don't consult with him about this, and then they draft his replacement without telling him.
Right.
And for a guy that still had a lot of years left, in my opinion, when they drafted Jordan Love. So I understand where he's coming from, but a lot of people don't. They're like, well, they're going to draft whoever they wanted to. But at the same time, they don't do that to other quarterbacks in this league, like Drew Brees, you know, Peyton Manning. They didn't do them like that. You know, I think the thing is, like, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Peyton Manning was hurt when he, you know, went elsewhere. It was kind of known, like, his neck is up in the air. You know, Drew Brees, they kind of let him know and let him finish out his career. I think Aaron Rodgers deserves that same kind of respect. If you're drafting a first rounder, you're drafting him to replace him. And that was their idea as a replacement. It didn't work out the way they wanted to. So who do they go to? Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, I think when it comes to, you know, play calling and drafting guys, I think he's the guy that you have to consult. I mean, you know, he's one of the best to ever do it. Like, and I don't feel like they gave him enough respect, you know. And it's hard being a former Bears player playing against him, but I do have a lot of respect for a guy like that, you know, because I think what he brings week in and week out and what he's brought to this game is something amazing. And I think people, whether you like him, hate the Packers or whatever, you have to respect his game. And I think, you know, some fans hate him or whatever, but you have to respect his game and what he does for the NFL.
Yeah, I sports hate Aaron Rodgers because he's so maddeningly good and he beats up on my team, right? You know, but man, look, like, I have the ultimate respect for him. And the thing that I can maybe, if I can maybe drive like a little wedge into the ribs of the Packers real quick, I agree with you, I find it wildly, wildly arrogant that they've had Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 30 years, Corey. We're on quarterback 59 in that period. You know what I'm saying?
No Hall of Famers.
And no Hall of Famers, maybe one or two Pro Bowlers, not even a dude that threw for 4,000 yards or 30 touchdowns. They've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the last 30 years, and they just think that their system – you know, their system doesn't stink because they do everything the right way. And okay, great. Like for every Donald Driver and Edgar Bennett, and you know, they've Jordy Nelson, they've had some great picks along the way. But dude, it starts and ends with that quarterback, right? And I think for them to not respect the amount of how lucky they got, honestly, going from Favre to Rodgers and not giving him the respect that he wanted, especially after making Rodgers sit for 4 years, I just think it's a long relationship. It's a delicate dance. And I find it pretty ridiculous, even though I'm so happy that it's happening because he will not be on the team next year. Can't wait. He'll be on the Steelers with my wife, whatever.
Him and Mike Tomlin, right? They were chopping it up after that last game. So
immediate Super Bowl contenders. Immediate, dude, if that happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, hey, can you imagine this? And I know it's probably hard for people to imagine, but imagine if Aaron Rodgers was on the Bears throughout his career. What do you think the Bears would have? Three Super Bowls possibly with the defense the way it was from when he first got in there, that 06 team.
Oh my God.
You know, the 2010 team when I was a rookie. 2012
team. 2012 for sure.
So, yeah.
I can't even imagine. One, Trestman would have never been probably coach. It probably would have been Bruce Arians. Two, it wouldn't be called Michigan Avenue anymore. It'd be called Rodgers Avenue.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy to think, you know, how much different the Bears team would be if a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers was there. But, you know, we hate him all we want. But like I said, at the end of the day, you got to respect him whether you hate him or not. And I think fans realize that in the back of their mind, and you know, you push back that hate. You got nothing but respect for him and respect for what he brings to this game and how he plays it. So, you know, I think this is going to be a great matchup because you love to see against a great quarterback our team come with a victory. And you're not a believer yet in them beating Rodgers just because of the history.
It's the history.
But I think if you remove the history, I just think the way the Bears are playing right now, right, and the way the Packers are playing, I think this matches up very well in favor of the Bears. Just with the run game, being able to control possession, control the clock, and then you factor in, once you get that running game going successful, and seeing Khalil Herbert really come out a little bit last week, I think that really opens up that hard play action. And I think this week we're going to get some more boots. I think we're going to get some more sprint outs and some of those long hard play action looks where you have two tight ends. And I think it's going to open up things. And I think you're going to be surprised. And after the game, I'm just going to say, hey, maybe I told you, Joe. I told you.
Please.
No, that's what you're saying.
No, no, man. Rub my face in it, because it is. This is a show me thing. And honestly, I almost feel like I'm representing more Bears fans than maybe like myself, of just, man, there's just the like you said, the horse that's been kicked over and over again is, you know, the Packers are the foot and the Bears are the horse. You know, and exactly. And you've brought up some great points, man. And you've been so on all of these keys that the Bears thankfully have locked into the past 2 or 3 weeks, that's kind of helped them, you know, reestablish some semblance of normalcy and what we've already talked about, cohesion moving forward, and hopefully success as well. So, man, dude, I'm right there with you. It's just, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Yep. Happy to say that I'm wrong. I think a lot more people in life will learn a lot more by acknowledging when they are wrong. And I'm happy to be that person to do that, Corey. I'm happy to be that guy. Trust me, man.
I'll put my Disney.
We should put some Disney dollars on this. What do you think? Now that we're picking two different scores, put some Disney bucks on this game.
Hey, we might have to, man. But I feel like you feel like one of those guys. Like you, everybody has their friend that they golf with, right? That's always like, I'm gonna break 80. I'm gonna break 80 this week, right? And they proceed to shoot a 98. So that's what the history is of the Bears. Oh, we're gonna win this game. We're gonna win this game, and it doesn't happen. So that's what it is. That's what it's like right now.
I'm cautiously protecting my heart and my soul, because if we come out with a win this week, man, I think stuff kind of gets a little bit more serious, right?
4-2, baby.
4-2 with a game against Tampa Bay, which is also gonna be tough. But then that schedule
tied for number one in the NFC North, right? At that point, right?
That's right, and we'll have one game on Green Bay too. I mean, I think it really kind of takes us into a different stratosphere.
This is gonna be a show me game, like you said, and it's gonna be a critical game for who this team is, right? I think Justin Fields is gonna have a great game. I think the defense is gonna come up huge. That tandem of rushers, I think they're going to get in Aaron Rodgers' face, and I think that the blitz pack is going to be dialed up. I think Allen Robinson and Justin Fields are going to be on the same page. Khalil Herbert's going to have his breaking out game. I'm really excited for this one, man. It's making me smile ear to ear. I like it.
Dude, you said it, man. There's going to be a lot to talk about. It's going to be Justin Fields, Bears pass rush, hopefully a Bears victory, Epcot Center. I don't know. Maybe Star Wars land. Who knows? It's going to be, maybe you won a game on the – you want one of the ring toss or something like that. Plenty to talk about here on Believe in Bears. This was the Bears-Packers preview of their Week 6 game on the lakefront. Today's episode is presented by BetOnline.ag, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Make sure you check that out and win a little cash this weekend while you're at it. Nothing wrong with that. My name is Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Joey Sports Guy. My man Corey Wooten, follow him on Twitter at CoreyWooton. Make sure you check out on his socials. Corey, man, great pod, man. Great knowledge, great perspectives. Have a great vacation, my friend, but take us home.
Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. It's Packers week this week. Looking forward to a great one. Continue tuning into our podcast, man. Love the feedback, comments. Love your guys' support. Appreciate it. And like you said, we're going to be breaking down this, hopefully, Bears win next week. Hopefully, a lot of good stuff to talk about. Me and Joey vibing, talking Bears football. You got to believe, baby.
You got to believe, man. And maybe my final thought is P-A-C-K-E-R-S-S-U-C-K. Packers suck. Goodbye. Good night.
There we go.
Bear down. Talk to you next time.